right, so Lewis, you are a podcast legend here. And so the number one thing for me that just like it's so hard is I never know how to start these things. It always just feels like so unnatural and like how you introduce a person. So like if you were interviewing you, how are you kicking this podcast off?
If I was interviewing me, I would say, what are you most excited about in your life right now?
Let's do it. What are you most excited about in your life right now? I know that's a tee up question. Let's go. Let's dive in, baby.
I am most excited about a number of different things. One, my health, because I think that's really the thing that's the most important. The highest currency is the quality of our health and the health of the people I care about, so I can spend meaningful time with them. And I'm also very excited about the just personal journey and growth that I continue to get to go on, healing journey, transformation internally, so that I can be of more service to more people in the world through all the work that I do. And it doesn't feel like it's hard work because it feels like it's part of a mission that I'm up to. So I'm excited about growth, health, transformation, and then being of service to other people.
Well, listen, that's why you're a pro right there. That's why you are successful, because you didn't go right in and be like, my new book coming out, The Greatest Mindset. See, that's why I gotta grow, because I obviously thought you're going that direction. But
Ah, man.
doing this, I've been listening to your podcast for years. I've known you for years, and you are, like I said earlier, a legend. But how do you have this ability to guests come on and they like immediately feel at ease and you kind of open up? Do you have like a technique, or do you think that's just innate?
I think I was always a really curious individual growing up, and I always just wanted to ask questions to people, not for my benefit, but for their benefit. And I think a lot of people aren't intentional about the questions they ask. They think about what they want to get out of it. And that's why I think asking a question, what are you most excited about, is all about serving the individual to think, to explore, to dream. And so when you tap into someone's heart, as opposed to just their analytical mind, you get them to open up. And so that's been kind of, it hasn't been a strategy. It's just kind of the way I am, is by wanting to connect with people's hearts and let them know how much I appreciate them, how much I care about them, and how grateful I am. And when you focus on those types of questions and that type of energy in an interview or just a friendship relationship conversation, whatever you give appreciation to tends to appreciate and value the more you appreciate it. So people, for whatever reason, just kind of open up with me. And I'm grateful that they do. And obviously I get to learn personally, but we get to serve a lot of people that are hearing or watching the conversations as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. So looking into this, I've known you for years, like I said, and it was fun looking into your background a little bit more, and a lot of your accolades. And you're an accomplished man, in your late 30s here, like on the field, All-American football player, USA handball team, and off the field, I mean, go on for hours here, but author, podcaster, speaker, business coach, et cetera. I didn't know where to go here, but I have. Can you explain handball? Like, how does handball work?
Team handball is like soccer with your hands, but on a big basketball court. And so, or like water polo on land.
Got it.
You're running, you're jumping, you're dribbling a ball, you're passing a ball, but you sh throw it into a net, kind of like a small soccer goal. So it literally, if you took away water in water polo, that's what it would look like,
That's
running and passing.
wow, intense. So how do you think your background in sports has kind of helped you build what you've done, gotten to where you are today in the School of Greatness and everything else you have going on?
It's been everything, because I literally, after sports was done with me, again, I was a All-American decathlete, All-American wide receiver, and then I played with the USA national team for about 8.5 years. And everything I learned from sports translated into the business world, into life, from the idea of I've always had coaches in sports. And so when I was done playing football, I was like, I need to find mentors and coaches. I have four different coaches that I pay today for my nutrition, my fitness, my emotional health, and my business as well. And when I think of the greats, Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, individuals like that, when they won the championships, they had great coaches to get them there. And then they said, I need to find other great coaches to help with aspects of my deficiencies to improve them. right? Tom was a guy who was like, well, how do I find the best trainer and how to find the best nutritionist and how do I find the best business mind in you, right? He was like, how do I find a Ben who can help me with all my business and media aspects and sponsorships? He didn't do it on his own. So for me, I used that and said, how do I find the best coaches? And I think the idea of a lot of people who didn't play sports are afraid to take risks, are afraid to take action on their goals and dreams. And as an athlete, you know this, the only way you succeed, the only way you accomplish and achieve is through failure and through the daily dropping the ball. That's how you learn to become better. And so I was just fearless in my willingness to put myself out there to do things that I had no clue what I was doing when I had no credibility or background on it. I just said, I'm going to learn along the process and realize it may take me longer, but if I just consistently show up, I'll keep getting better. And that's what I'll do.
Yeah, it's cool. It reminds me of a conversation I had with my 4-year-old last night. We were talking about, like, you know, he's getting frustrated trying to learn something. And I was like, every mistake, everything's learning, and trying to teach that, you know, me trying to coach that right into him, and of like, is everything's a learning, like, look at everything as positive. Now you know not to do that again. And so you've obviously taken to that well, and you continue to apply those, you know, you need that perseverance and the belief in yourself to push through. So the I saw you describe yourself once as an awkward boy from Ohio, and you like you said, you know, you turned it yourself into an amazing lifestyle entrepreneur, business coach, speaker, et cetera. And so the tell us a little bit about the journey. Keep it high level, but just give us a little run through your journey. And that, and I know there was that tipping point there.
Yeah, when I got done playing, I played arena football and I got injured. And when I got injured and had to kind of essentially retire, I was in a full arm cast for 6 months after the surgery. And during that time, I was just kind of like in denial that my career was over as an athlete.
Yeah.
And that was challenging for me, but it was also around 2008 when the economy was crashing. So it was hard to get job opportunities. And so I remember thinking to myself, okay, I can't go back and play football. No one's hiring a broken down athlete who doesn't have a college degree yet during this economy right now. Yeah. So let me figure out how to overcome all my fears and insecurities. I started taking public speaking class every week because I was afraid to speak in public. I started learning online marketing and I had no clue what I was doing in business. And I just said, I'm going to create a list of all my fears and go after them one by one until they're a strength and not an insecurity and a fear. And that has really been the process over the last 12, 13 years. Every new season, every new chapter, I want to write a book. I want to launch a podcast. I want to launch a course. I want to speak on stage. And I didn't know how to do any of it. So there were insecurities and fears of mine because I didn't have confidence in that area. I just said, how can I learn from someone great? How can I take massive action on this fear by learning the skill, by embarrassing myself left and right until I get a little bit of skill set around it and then put it out into the world even more? And that's been the process over and over from, again, podcasting to business, to speaking on stage, to writing New York Times bestselling books, to hosting events, to doing a documentary. I didn't know how to do these things, but I was willing to take the risk and put myself out there and embarrass myself in front of everyone because I knew that's what would help me have more confidence in the future.
It's pretty cool. It's a good lesson. The, this year, I back in April, I turned 40, and I think it was a one of the biggest, kind of in a weird way, a milestone, biggest game changer of my life. I see you're a few months off from the big
2 months away, man. Yeah, what was the big lesson for you? What was the big takeaway when you hit 40?
I mean, this would be a about an hour conversation. It's my life as a 40-year-old man is completely different than my life, you know, 9 months ago before that. Something about it and the work I did leading up to it and after has been game changer. And it's just this, like, you know, I was thinking about that just in case you, because you're so good at asking questions. I thought you might say something, but my biggest thing is just taking my seat at the table, right? Like looking at myself in a different way. Like I'm a 40-year-old man now. Like, you know, you got to take your seat at the table. You got to show up and for your family, for work, for your coworkers, for, you know, for your team. And so, you know, I was thinking about you going over the hill, as they call it. And have you thought much about your birthday and I tell you how you feel about it?
My girlfriend's been trying to plan something for like 6 months. She's like, we got to do something for you. And I've never celebrated birthdays, my own birthday. It's always been kind of like, Partly because my dad never celebrated it because he didn't want me to be limited by age or time. So he didn't want me to focus on it because he said, you know, there are a lot of people that focus on their birthday and they feel like they're too old to do something or too young to try something. And so I just never felt that way. And I've been thinking about it more and more because it is kind of a big milestone. And I don't know if there's something that's going to switch like it did with you, or I don't know what I'm going to feel, but having a 4-0 before my life is interesting. And it brings a lot of urgency. It makes me feel like I want to be more urgent and more focused and more clear on what I'm creating and eliminating distractions as much as possible.
Yeah.
So continue to set my life up for the next 5 to 10 years with clarity and urgency, because we're not guaranteed today or tomorrow, let alone the next 10 years. And I just want to make sure I'm living an intentional life filled with peace in my heart, love, connection, fun, and impact. And so that's what I'm thinking about. It's just getting me more refined and focused on, am I doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing? What else can I do differently? How can I delegate? All these different things.
Yeah. I forget it. I'm going to mess quote up, but I feel like they say, like, you spend the first half of your life, you know, saying yes to everything, and the second half kind of saying no to everything, you know? And it's, I don't know what that's just a function of, just, you know, maturity and learning what's really important to you. But moving on from your birthday here, but let's talk about it, baby. Let's talk about the book coming out, The Greatest Mindset, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. I'm fired up about it. I'm like, full disclosure, I haven't read it yet, but I'm excited to read it. I know my book's in the mail, but let's start off. I'd love for you to actually define these two words, because I hear them a lot, which is greatness and mindset. What are the, separately, do they mean something together? Like, talk about those two words.
It's interesting because maybe you can relate to this, but when I was growing up, I wanted to be successful. And I don't know if you ever thought, like, I want to be successful. I want to make, I want to be successful in sports. Then I want to be successful in my job. And then I want to be successful making money. And I want to make, do the business stuff. And I want to be successful. I think a lot of us, specifically men in the world, want that. We want success. And what I've learned is there's nothing wrong with success, but typically success is about me and greatness is about others. Mm. And I believe that, it's hard to leave a legacy with success alone, but you build a real legacy when you live a life of greatness. And that life of greatness is also about accomplishing for you and doing the things you want. And in that pursuit, making an impact on the people closest to you, your communities, the world, and your platform, whatever that size of platform is for you, but making a mark on other lives is greatness. There's a lot of wealthy people that that I know that aren't fulfilled because they make it all about them, how they look, they look, how much more money they make, the bigger deals they do, promoting themselves, which again, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but also doing it in contribution with others, for others. For me, that's greatness. And I think the mindset it's shifting from a success mindset to a greatness mindset. It's shifting from a me mentality to a we mentality. It's shifting from I need to be right and I need to win, which was kind of my upbringing, to I want everyone to win. And I want to win. So how can we create the win-win-win experience? And I have learned over the last, in kind of my 30s, this is kind of interesting now going into 40, that I just learned towards the end of my 30s that it doesn't need to all be about me. And in fact, when I'm in collaboration with others, not in competition, it's just a much more rewarding experience. And it doesn't mean you still can't be competitive and win and all this stuff, but not at the detriment of hurting or affecting others in a negative way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think in the book you talk about it, I know there's a lot of strategies and advice, from other people, from yourself. Is there anything that like really sticks out that you, I don't want to ruin the book, but anything that like really sticks out that you'd be comfortable sharing, and keeping in mind that, we've talked about, right? Like my audience here is the elite of the elite, these people that have really pinnacle of their game, whether it's in the boardroom, on the field. So,
yeah, I think, I wrote this book for the elites of the world and the people just trying to figure out their life at the same time. So it's kind of for both. Anyone that wants that greatness mindset, what I've learned over kind of 1300 plus interviews, 10 years of interviewing people, and also just real world experience, sports experience, you know, training with top athletes, training with top business people, being on trips of humanitarian trips all around the world, charity stuff, and just kind of seeing this kind of full circle of life, that there are three reasons why we doubt ourselves, three reasons that hold us back. Whether you're a 16-year-old trying to make the varsity, or you're in your 40s trying to raise a few $100 million in a venture fund, different seasons of life, there are three causes of self-doubt. And I believe self-doubt is what kills all of our dreams. And these three causes of self-doubt are the fear of failure, the fear of success, and the fear of other people's opinions or the judgment of other people. Now, growing up, I never felt the fear of failure or success because I knew failure was the path to being successful. And that was the thing I always wanted. I wanted success. But whenever I ask people, are you ever afraid of failure? A lot of people raise their hand and say they are afraid. Yeah. And then whenever I ask people, of these three fears, are you afraid of success? An almost equal amount of people raise their hand as a fear of success. You've seen this at the highest level. There is a documentary called The Weight of Gold. I don't know if you've seen it, about Olympic gold medalists who then lose everything essentially afterwards because the pressure of being a champion, you've seen it firsthand, is so high. You lose friends and family. People want more from you. You have to show up consistently a different way. If you're not at the top, the pressure of losing. The weight of gold is so hard for a lot of people if they're not trained to be ready for it. It can be lonely at the top, they say. So a lot of people fear that. They fear losing their communities, their whatever it might be. Those two things were never my fears. My fear was always judgment, the opinions of other people. Yeah. And so I had to learn. And at the root of all three of these fears is I am not enough. So beneath any one of them is this feeling like I'm not enough. And if I fail, I'm not going to be enough. If I succeed, I'm still not going to be enough. If I'm judged by other people, it means I'm not enough. And when we learn to accept ourselves, and I show all the strategies in the book through how to do this, but when you learn to fully accept yourself and you embrace the fear of failure, embrace the fear of success and the fear of judgment, and you learn to navigate them in a healthier relationship, you learn to accept yourself, then you don't doubt yourself at these different stages of life. You know, you became married and you've got a father of two and you're 40 and you're launching a new venture. You can take in stride of the next chapter of your life with a level of peace, of confidence, as opposed to, am I going to be enough? Can I accept myself? Who's going to judge me? What happens if I lose here? And that's what I think holds a lot of people back. Self-doubt is the killer of dreams. And so we've got to learn the strategies to overcoming that at every season of life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's interesting. The athletes, right? I think, and you know, right? The hardest part, and we talked about earlier, is that transition, right? Away, you focused on one thing your whole life. And I feel like this book, it would be great because I'm sure everybody, every athlete, I don't care. I've talked to enough of them. They're all fearful of what's next and what's
100%.
That. So
you're living in your past and your identity is tied into 15, 20 years of something you used to do that you no longer do. It's one of the hardest things for athletes is to transition and stay happy and joyful and peaceful and not live in the past. And that's, you know, I wrote this for myself when I retired. I wrote this for my 16-year-old self, my 23-year-old self, my 40-year-old self, on how to get to that next level at every chapter.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, everybody listening, I truly mean this. Lewis is one of the most genuine, smartest, deepest, and the other books that, you know, I don't know if anybody listens, you know, who's read the other books, but they're spectacular. And there's a level of authenticity where you almost use yourself as the guinea pig and you're super vulnerable. And so whether you're going through, you know, ready for the next season of your life, you know, leaving your career, whether it's football, baseball, like, please check out this book. And I'm not just, I truly believe this would be a real, you know, help to anybody or, you know, anyways, just a fun read. So enjoy that. Lewis, to do all this, like you, in every time we talk, every time I see you, it's just like full energy. Please don't tell me it's just like you love coffee. Like, what do you, how do you do it? Like, how do you show up with all this energy? You wrote a book. while you're writing a book, you're doing your podcast, you're speaking, all these events. Like, I'll have what you're having. Like, I'm in.
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, I do a lot of work on myself. I do. I have a coach that helps with, like, a therapy coach every couple of weeks that I meet with to help me continue to grow and heal and transform internally. I have good relationships in my life that brings me a lot of peace. And I have a team that I'm working with that I'm inspired by, with a mission that is meaningful. So all those combined, I just feel very grateful and blessed, and it gives me a lot of energy.
It's awesome. All right, well, last question. I saw you posted a picture of you in Times Square, your face up there in bright lights, in, you know, millions. Like, how's that feel? Like, it has to, like, really feel like, just to see you. I mean, is that one of those moments where you're just like, that is cool?
It's cool, man. You know, as a kid's growing up, we used to have these crazy dreams of, you know, sports and movies and Times Square and all that stuff. So it's cool to see, you know, my podcast be featured in Times Square on billboards. Yeah. And it's kind of like a full circle moment. You know, the podcast has been around for 10 years this month. It'll be our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And so it just shows you that when you show up consistently and you add value to people week after week for a long time, good things start to happen. So it's fun. It's surreal. And I'm excited. I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah, you are, man. Listen, there's nobody that knows how to connect with people, connect with an audience, whether it's through podcasting, social media, you know, LinkedIn, all this. Like, you're a legend, and you truly have everybody else's best interest first. So I appreciate your time today. I appreciate most of all your friendship. You know, I love having you come to games and, you know,
fun, man.
And it's awesome. So keep crushing it. We'll be reading and following along. So thank you.
Oh, man. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.